Hi, and welcome to Microsoft Virtual Academy. My name is Kyle Rosenthal, and this is the first of the modules with regarding moving from Windows XP to Windows 7. To start off with, we're going to be looking at the automation of migration from Windows XP to 7, and in particular, just sort of laying the groundwork for the modules that are going to be following after this. The modules that follow along after are going to be looking at putting into place the tools that we're going to be using as part of this introduction. The idea of this is to try and get us along the way of being able to ease the burden of moving from Windows XP to Windows 7, which obviously is a fairly important topic now that we're getting towards the end of life or the end of support for Windows XP. More and more of the organizations that are out there are probably looking for methods now to be able to move. Now, if the last major deployment you did was from was a Windows XP deployment, then more than likely there's a lot of the tools that are available now that weren't available when you've been planning your when you planned your Windows XP Windows XP environment deployments. So what we want to do is try and introduce the tools and certainly the methodologies that are available now, and hopefully make it simpler for you to be able to move. Now, we're going to look at this on a couple of different scales as we go through the different modules. We're going to look at it from the scale of a light touch installation, so a smaller sort of scale, all the way up to a zero touch installation, which does involve things like Config Manager to be able to do the deployment. So as we start leading our way through the deployments and the tools, hopefully we'll give you a really good grounding and a really good idea about tips and tricks and also the direct methods to be able to get you into deploying Windows 7 and making that move from Windows 7 across to Windows XP or from Windows XP across to Windows 7. So what are we going to look at? In the first module, the objectives mainly are to sort of get you along the lines to describe the components that are required to migrate from Windows XP to Windows 7, be able to decide which of those components and methods would suit your particular migration. It may be that we've got, if you're doing a one-off type installation, the one-off type installation may not necessarily use all of the additional tools. However, if we're doing, like sort of any more than one, up to, say about 250 to 500 machines, then that's where we would use a tool such as Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, Windows Deployment Services, and anything above that, then is when you might start considering tools like the System Center Configuration Manager to be able to do your deployment. So we're going to be able to kind of give you the tools that are the components are there, the tools that are available, and then also give you some guidance as to which components and methods would suit your deployment and your migration. With the idea being that hopefully you're going to have a really good idea as to how to apply all of these. And then finally, we're also going to look at some of the automation as well. My rule always is that if you're going to do anything more than once, then you should be looking at methods to be able to automate it. And the good thing is there's a whole bunch of tools that are available from Microsoft which enable us to be able to automate the process end to end without you having to go and touch a bunch of machines and answer the same questions every time. So we're going to look at the automation process. So what's on the agenda for this particular course? Well, for this particular course, we're going to look at all the different deployment components and tools, the deployment decisions, and when I'm saying deployment, I'm meaning migration within here, but it's really just overall we're doing a deployment which happens to have a migration from Windows XP across to Windows 7. It's one of the things that I guess it's a myth, if you like, from going from Windows XP to Windows 7, is that there's we can't upgrade it, and it's really a matter of terminology. We can't do an upgrade. That is true. We don't have the traditional sort of upgrade methodology that we've had before going from earlier versions to Windows XP. However, we do have ways to be able to automate the deployment, to make the migration process as simple as possible, so that from the end user perspective, it looks and it feels exactly the same as if it was actually an upgrade. It's just that we're actually doing a deployment in the background instead of doing an upgrade as such. So yeah, so we're going to have a look at some of the deployment decisions that are on there. So what sort of methodologies would we actually use, and what tools do we want to consider as part of that usage? And then getting ready for the deployment, things to sort of consider, and I'll kind of talk through a few different things that I've come across in my deployments and migrations. Things that you want to make sure that you do check as part of the process of your deployments and migrations. And then finally, automation. So making sure that we can kind of look at some of the key files that you need to consider as part of the automation process to make sure that we actually do have the ability to be able to get things online as quickly as possible. And as I said, if you're going to do something more than once, consider how to make it so that you don't have to keep on answering the same questions over and over again. So first off, the deployment components and tools. Okay, so the key deployment components and the tools that you're going to come across, the things that you will, that regardless of what your end methodology is going to be to do your deployment, there's a couple of key things you're always going to come across. And we're going to dive deeper into these as we go through. So there's certainly the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, the Assessment and Deployment Kit. Now, this is the updated version of what used to be the WAKE tool. Windows Deployment Services, and System Center Configuration Manager. Now those two, the last two, the Deployment Services or Config Manager, really are going to depend on what your deployment methodology is in the end. And we'll discuss what that means very shortly. So first off, Microsoft Deployment Toolkit 2012. Now, if you had done automated deployments using for Windows XP, you probably used a tool called the BDD, the Business Desktop Deployment Tools. Now, essentially what that was the promise of an automation using a couple of scripts, and effectively there was a deployment script that ran at to be able to automate the installation. Now it's a really important delineation between what we used to do with Windows XP and what we now do with Windows 7. Windows XP, we used to do automated installations. Now what we do is we do automated deployments. Now the difference between that is that you know, with XP we did scripted installs that would, you know, we'd have an answer file which we'd call upon as we were doing our installation, which would then at point of time it would call on the script, we then have an answer that gets plugged in. And then if you wanted to be able to, I guess, make that simpler, what you would do is you would say, for instance, image at that point. You know, so you could potentially do scripted installs, and I know people that had really, really good and complex scripted installs that would be very, very clever to be able to put things into place. And then if they wanted to scale that out to be able to make it easier, you'd create an image and generally use like a third-party type deployment tool to be able to image it, to deploy that image or distribute that image. Now within Windows 7, what we do within Windows 7 is we actually sort of change that up a bit. We do a deployment of an image natively. So if you were to grab the Windows 7 media, so that they download the ISO file or anything like that, and crack it open, what you'd find is, and what we'll deal with as we go through, is you'll find these things called WIM files, the Windows image files. And those Windows image files are what we then use to be able to do deployments of, to be able to lay down an image. So out of the box, the default methodology for putting Windows 7 onto a desktop, and you know, we're talking retail desktops, we're talking a home user, we're talking all the way up to, you know, large scale enterprise, it's always going to be an image that we deploy. Now there's a couple of really good things with that. One is that out of the box it's hardware agnostic. So therefore, we don't have to worry about things like the underlying HAL or anything like that to start off with. Basically, Windows 7 will try and detect what it lands on, and will generally be able to deploy across multiple desktops and multiple desktop types. So we can have now one image which goes across the, say for instance, a desktop machine and a laptop machine. We can use the same base image. Now obviously there's drivers and that sort of thing that we want to be able to put over the top of that, but that will depend on the actual deployment itself that we're putting into place. And again, we'll discuss that some more as we go through. So one of the key tools that's available to be able to take that base image and create an automated deployment is this thing called the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. Now, as I said, had its birthplace in BDD and has had various different iterations, and now is all the way up to the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit 2012. Okay, now with the MDT 2012, it has support for being able to have some fairly complex deployment methodologies, including being able to kick this off from within a Windows XP within a Windows XP environment, and then have that capture all the local settings and store it somewhere, wipe the machine, and start again with Windows 7 and push in the settings that we're going to put into that we've captured. So that's really good that we've got the ability to be able to automate that. Okay, so it does give us all the sort of the tools and guidance for, you know, all the various different roles that we might have put into place. We also have the ability to be able to not only do this thing called the LTI, the light touch installation, but we can then use this to be able to plug in to Configuration Manager as well. So the good thing is that the things that you learn from doing Windows deployments or Windows migrations using MDT, once you actually start scaling up then and want to be able to do that via Config Manager, then it means that we can actually, you know, take those same learnings and use them within Config Manager. So it gives us the ability to be able to do some really good tools. Now this is my starting point from whenever I'm doing deployments. This is where I start from. So I'll always start off with doing a deployment with you know, creating an image as an example, and I'll create that image using MDT, and we'll discuss that again in later modules as to the reasoning for that. But as you can see, like down the bottom there is a bunch of different operating systems that we can actually use this across. So not only XP Professional, but also other versions of Windows as well, including Windows Server as well. So it's a really dynamic and useful tool to be able to use. Another tool that we've got is the Assessment and Deployment Toolkit. Now this is the one that I said is the updated version of what used to be known as the Windows Automated Installation Kit. The Windows Automated Installation Kit, the Assessment and Deployment Kit, is really a collection of other tools. Okay, so it's got tools such as DISM, which is our command line deployment and servicing tools, System Image Manager. System Image Manager is very cool. Now, particularly for those that are coming from doing strictly Windows XP deployments, Windows XP automated installations, in order to be able to do that, you would have used unattended files. So you would have gone and created unattended .inf files and use those to be able to plug into those into the as ENSA files. Now, when you did that, you started off with a notepad, an open version of notepad, and started typing. And generally, the only way to test to see if you actually had the settings right was by doing a deployment. So what System Image Manager tool does for us is it gives us the ability to be able to take one of the Windows image files, so you know, the Windows 7 image file, and crack it open essentially and look for all the settings that are contained within it, so that we then have a method to be able to select, I want to be able to turn on games, I want to be able to turn on the Telnet client. Without having to know what was the setting that I needed to put in, at this particular level. Instead, what I've got is I've got a GUI environment to be able to do that within, which is really great. It's got a vanilla version of Windows PE, the Windows PE being our deployment tool that sits over the top of the hardware and sits abstracted from the underlying operating system to be able to do things like capture the settings off the local box if we're doing an offline state capture. Also gives us the ability to be able to deploy without interacting, interacting with the PC that we're doing the deployment onto, without actually operating within the PC space. So effectively what it does, it runs in memory, and we can then make all sorts of disk changes to the underlying disk while we're doing our deployments. So it makes it really powerful to be able to, a really powerful tool to be able to do our deployments. A couple of other tools that are in there. There's the user state migration tool, USMT. Now, we're going to dive a lot deeper into that one as we go through. The user state migration tool is the one that gives us the ability to be able to capture local settings, and you know, all the user settings, that sort of thing, and then store them somewhere, and then pump those back out after we've done our deployment. So this gives us the ability to be able to get back into place for the users the settings that they had previously, so that they then have hopefully a more comfortable environment, you know, like to be able to get used to. It's going to be a little bit different for them anyway, moving from Windows XP to Windows 7. So, you know, if their normal SOE environment's been Windows 7 for a long period of time, then they may find it a bit different going to, sorry, if it's been Windows XP for a period of time, they may find it a bit different going to Windows 7. So by having the ability to have some of the, you know, all their settings transfer across, means they don't have to set everything up again, which then might make it, again, a little bit easier for them to be able to transition across from. The VAMT is the volume activation management tool. Now, this is a really important one that you will need to dive into, particularly if you're doing enterprise deployments, because volume activation has changed from within Windows XP. It's a little bit outside of the scope of what we're doing within here, but there is a management tool that's contained within the ADK that gives you the ability to be able to manage that. So make sure you do you do install that and start doing your management. The WPT is the Windows Performance Toolkit, and basically what that does, it's kind of more of a troubleshooting type tool. It gives us some tools to be able to do analysis of event tracing and performance data. So it's, you know, quite useful to be able to have a look to see what's actually going on. Include some tools like XPerf and that sort of thing are contained in there. The Windows Assessment Toolkit again gives us the ability to be able to do some discover and assessments on single computers. The idea being that sort of we can have a look at a particular machine and see on that machine if there's something that we need to, you know, improve. You know, gives us effectively the Windows Assessment Console that you might have seen within the Windows environment. And then the final one there, the Windows Assessment Services, essentially takes that the Windows Assessment Toolkit and gives us the ability to be able to run the assessments remotely. So a couple of handy little tools. But the main tools that we're going to use for our deployment are going to be the first half of that. So DISM, SIM, Windows P, USMT, and the activation tool, so the VAMT. So the Windows Deployment Services is another tool that we might be able to, that we might leverage off. And if you've, again, if you've been using Windows, done Windows XP deployments, you've probably done a RIS deployment. This is, you know, think of it, this as being the updated version of the RIS deployments. It's available for Windows Server 2008 and above, and certainly, you know, the later versions of it are like have more sort of functionality, and in particular with multicast, gives us the ability to do things like different levels of multicast, so we can actually have different sessions running on the same multicast at the same time. One of the differences between, say, using Windows Deployment Services to be able to do your deployments and some other of the third-party imaging-type deployments is that we have the ability to have multiple sessions running effectively off the same environment. The idea of this, and it's quite cool, like sort of, you know, the amount of times that I've been, that I've done deployments and I've had, one machine which, you know, has something that's got a different NIC on it or something like that, and that particular NIC then is running slower than the rest of the machines in the environment. And if that's the case, then what happens is, it'll potentially slow down the deployment of all the other deployments to the same level. So what we want to try and do is try and split that out, and that's where the different levels of the multicast comes in. And this other thing called anytime join is also quite cool. So say for instance, a traditional multicast, if I'm doing, you know, say for instance I'm deploying 100 different machines, then what I have to do is I have to have all 100 machines join the deployment at the same time, or join the deployment before I can then effectively trigger it off and start doing my my multicast. With any time join, essentially, once we've got two machines that are connected to the session, then we start our deployment off. And then what happens is, as the deployment progresses, as more clients connect, and effectively they connect at whatever the point of time that deployment actually is, so that once we get to the end of the, you know, the first two machines being deployed, then effectively we circle back around and start doing the deployment for the rest of them. So the idea is we can get people up and running a lot faster. And in addition to that, if one of those clients happens to drop out of the multicast, it doesn't then destroy the session for everyone else. And that's a really important one that I've found. Like, you know, the amount of times that I've had a cleaner come and unplug a machine to be able to plug a vacuum cleaner in while I'm doing deployment. Now, traditionally, if we're doing traditional multicast, that would then destroy everything. Instead, it just takes that one machine offline. And even better, once it comes back on, I can then rejoin it into the same session, and effectively it just starts the deployment or the multicast from that point on. And that's a really cool tool. And again, if you haven't done a Windows Deployment Services deployment, or Windows 7 deployment, then this is kind of one of those big benefits that you might find by doing the transition. We do have the ability to be able to deploy both WIM files and VHD files, and the reason we might care about that, certainly the WIM files, the Windows Windows image format. The VHD files, we have the ability within Windows 7 to be able to do a boot to VHD. So rather than booting up into a traditional desktop with everything installed locally, instead what we can do is we might boot up into a VHD file, and then that VHD file is where the operating system runs. From the user perspective, it looks exactly the same, but it might be easier then to be able to roll back, as an example, to, you know, previous versions of a VHD, just simply by dropping the new version in, we're then back with the OS back to where it was, you know, beginning state or something similar to that. So as I said, we can do both the WIM and VHD, and it's the core delivery method for light touch installation deployments. Once we start looking at doing some automation within the LTI deployments, we can either use, there's a GUI, Windows Deployment Services console, or alternatively using some command line as well, so WDS util to be able to do our deployments. Another tool that we've got is System Center Configuration Manager. Now, with System Center Configuration Manager, it does more than just simply doing the deployment of an operating system. If we are using the deployment of operating system, it is using Zero Touch or ZTI. Now, with Zero Touch installation, that then means that we can automate the process end to end. So with your Windows XP clients that have that are connected to the Configuration Manager environment, I can actually advertise to them a migration effectively, and then automate all the process of capturing the information and capturing the user state, doing the deployments, pushing out the new software to them, and then applying those settings back to them. So it makes it a really powerful tool for us. But as I said, like, it does more than just simply doing the deployment of operating systems. And this is where, as I mentioned earlier, like, sort of the push, if you like, or the trigger point to be able to go from doing light touch installations might be and then moving to Zero Touch might be the level that we want to be able to do our management afterwards. So once we start getting more and more of the clients put into place, then by having the configuration manager, not only does it do the deployment itself, but it then eases the burden of the actual management of them after we've done the deployment. So we'll look at some of those look at Configuration Manager a little bit more in depth with regards to our deployments as we start going through as well. So the deployment decisions, what sort of things do we need to look at? Well, first off, it's that it's the deployment of whether we're going to be doing light touch installations or zero touch installations. And that really depends on A, what you've got in place. So whether you've got Configuration Manager. If you've got Configuration Manager put into place, then really zero touch is going to be the way to go for you, because it's going to simplify the process of doing not only the deployment but also the ongoing management afterwards. If you don't, then you know, like as to whether you do the investment of to get into Configuration Manager will depend on the scale of your actual of your enterprise. So light touch installation and zero touch installation both start off, you know, in a planning perspective and deployment perspective by using the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. And we'll sort of see that as the common ground that we build on. And then the deployment method, how we actually put things out. If we're using light touch, then it'll be Windows Deployment Services, or whether we're going to be using Configuration Manager as doing zero touch. Okay. What sort of scenarios are we going to put into place? Now, if we're doing a scenario of a replacement, then effectively what we might do is, as part of our process of migrating from Windows XP across to Windows 7, we might be replacing the person's machine at the same time. Okay. Now, the reason that we worry about that as a delineation between, say, for instance, just having the local box, is because when we go to do our upgrade, or so when we go to put out from Windows XP to Windows 7, the main consideration is where we put the user state. So if we're doing a replacement, then the user state is going to have to go onto a server somewhere to be able to be stored. If we're doing an upgrade, then we do have the option to be able to put it onto the local machine and keep it there as we do our deployment. And we'll discuss that some more as we go through. The third option that I've got there is the new computer, and the new computer really isn't an upgrade as such from Windows to XP to Windows 7. It's just simply, here's Windows 7. Okay. Now, it's probably certainly the easiest method to be able to put in front of someone, you know, because we're just giving them a new machine, we're taking their old one away, and we don't care about their settings. But from a user perspective, it's probably the most jarring for the transition, and the reason being because we don't retain anything on the local machine. However, that's a consideration to be able to put into place, is that, you know, we may not necessarily want to have, or we may not necessarily translate all the information across, okay? So if we are just simply giving them a brand new machine, if you don't support data on the local desktop, then we're just going to give them a brand new box with Windows 7 on it, with our own operating system on it that might be customized for your particular enterprise. So that does lead to, are we considering about, you know, migrating the user settings? And if we are, what sort of scale are we putting onto? So say, for instance, if we're going to automate it, then we're going to be using the user state migration tool. And with the USMT, there's another consideration to put into place, which is as to whether we're going to be using hard link migration. Now, hard link migration is the one that gives us the option to have that local set of data held locally. Okay. Otherwise, we need to have some space to be able to put it somewhere, like to be able to store away. So we need to have a server with somewhere to be able to store the user state while we're doing our transfer. There's another option as well, which is the Windows Easy Transfer Wizard. Now, this is... It's not really a scalable solution, but it's good for those one-off solutions. So even if you don't support data on the local machine and settings on the local machine as a global solution, there might be exceptions to that. You know, say for instance, the CEO wants to be able to transfer the information from their Windows XP laptop across to their new Windows 7 laptop. In which case, rather than going to the trouble of setting up USMT, etc., we might just simply use the Windows Easy Transfer Wizard to be able to do that. So it's just a different methodology. It's a sort of more GUI driven as opposed to USMT, which is a script and command line driven. Couple of automation tools, automation files to look at. The first couple that are listed in there are the Windows PE shell .ini and the Windows PE init .ini or .exe are all files that we can use a modifier to be able to get Windows P to automate some processes. To be honest, if you're using MDT, then really you don't have to worry about making any changes into really any of these. The MDT will actually step you through doing any of the changes. But certainly, you know, those first two we can use to be able to do deployments and modify Windows PE to be able to execute files for execute commands for us. The unattended.xml file is exactly the same as what we had for an ANSR file, you know, back in the Windows XP installation days, except now that it's a it's actually an XML file rather than a text-based file. And so therefore it's all an XML sort of environment. In order to be able to configure this, this is where you would use the System Image Manager tool to be able to do that. The ZTI gather XML, if we're using MDT, then this is where all the variables and that sort of thing are actually declared by MDT. So when it does the gather part of, you know, say for instance, asking the local box of information, so the Windows XP machine, it says, hey, Windows XP machine, what are you called? What users do you have? Where are your files stored? What's, you know, like, what information can you tell me? That all gets, that's what is defined in the ZTI gather. And effectively what happens is it's effectively the reverse of the answer file. It's the question file, if you like. Okay. And then we've got the custom settings.ini. Custom settings.ini again is something held within MDT, and it gives us the ability to be able to define properties that we're going to use for MDT deployments. And again, we'll dive deeper into that as we start going through the later modules within the course. So some handy tips for automation. Okay, so first off, use MDT. Now, just I'm going to use MDT full stop, but use MDT to be able to build your gold images. So rather than doing a fresh deployment every time, we want to build up a gold image, which might have your own customization put into place. And you might have heard the terms of thick or thin images. And this is kind of gives you the ability, look, with MDT, it gives us the ability to have a hybrid image, if you like. So we can build some of the base settings into the into an image, and then pile over the top of it with the additional settings and configuration that we might want to put into place. So use MDT or Configuration Manager to actually deploy those images. And the reason we do that is because that's again just one of our automation processes. Build-in flexibility. So if we're using MDT, use the MDT database to be able to do that. And again, we'll talk about that when we start looking more into the MDT environment. But what this gives is it gives us the ability to be able to modify our deployment on the fly, depending on what the actual machine is that we're deploying to, as an example. So have different different drivers that we want to drop onto it, depending on what the particular machine is. Build up what I call a grocery list for your software, for your images, for your drivers, and for language packs. And what I mean by that is that when we start building MDT, we're going to put into it as much information as we can, so that we then have the flexibility to deploy out, you know, all of the different software that we might have. So we might have Office, Office included, but and third-party applications included for deployment. But we might not necessarily deploy all of them at once. But by starting off with a base of putting everything into the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, then it means that when we go to do our deployment, we can pick and choose which of the operating systems and which of the images, which of the application, what drivers and what language packs we want to put in at time of doing our deployment. So we build up the grocery list so that we then have the choice to be able to do the deployment of only what's needed. So we're not going to pile every single driver into our image, and we're not going to deploy every single driver when we actually go to do our deployment. And the final point there, I can't stress this enough, make sure you do a test. You know, so test everything as you go through. So before you go scaling out your deployments, before you go scaling out your migration, make sure that they work. You know, and do things like test. You know, we're testing to see if our deployments will work from the perspective of a of getting our migration to be able to occur, so capturing the user state. Make sure you test that before you go live with it so that you are actually picking up all the relevant data and settings. And then, so in summary, we've covered across the deployment components and tools, the deployment decisions, looked at some of the tools that we need to put in place to be able to get ready for your deployment, and looked at some of the options for automating the deployment, so the things to look at for that. A couple of useful links that are contained within here. There's the Windows Automated Deployment Kit, MDT 2012, sorry, System Center Home, a couple of generic sort of deployment and useful ones for Windows 7. So Deployment Guys, a blog site from the deployment folk from within Microsoft. Some really good useful tips as to some of the tips and tricks for actually getting your deployments up and running. And the Springboard series is particularly if you are introducing Windows 7 for the first time into your organization. The Springboard series will have some good tips with regards to helping your users get into the realm of using the Springboard series, the new operating system. Other things to bear in mind: there are some different materials that are available. So first off, TechNet has some evaluation trials that are available. So the evaluations for the Windows Server environment, but also for the Windows Client environment. There's also some IT camps that are held, and IT camps will cover across different topics that might be of interest to you. So there'll be some on deployment, there'll be some on migration. There's also IT topics on Windows Server 2012, Windows Azure, and certainly more than that. And then, of course, the way you've come to this, which is through the Microsoft Virtual Academy. So it's the free online training, and you'll find that at MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com. So there's courses being added to this all the time, added to the Microsoft Virtual Academy all the time, and yeah, this is one of them. So this is the end of the first module. As I said, there's another six more to go. So there's seven modules in total that we're going to cover across for the migrating and deploying Windows 7. My name's Kyle Rosenthal, and I'll thank you very much for your attendance.